Well, good evening. Ooh, hello. my name's Tara, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to bring the message tonight. I work part-time here at the church, and I help lead the women's ministry, and sometimes I get to teach, and I love doing it. Dallas gave me the freedom to do a standalone message tonight, and honestly, tonight, I just want to teach a little bit about a topic that has really been impacting my own personal walk with Jesus, and I'm hoping that you guys find it helpful as well. Tonight, we're going to talk about listening to God. What does it mean? What does it look like to just listen, to hear from God? Now, this probably won't come as a surprise to most of you, even if you don't know me that well yet. But I'm not someone who typically runs short on words, okay? that was my husband. I was going to say my husband would affirm that about me. In fact, every day I cannot wait for him to get home for a lot of reasons. I love him. I've missed him. I'm tired of chasing our one-year-old around by myself, and I need some backup. But I'm also excited for him to get home because I want to tell him all the things. I want to tell him all about my day. I want to tell him how good it was, how bad it was. I want to tell him what our kids did that was so cool or not so cool. Most days I even think that he wants to know what I ate for breakfast, what I ate for lunch, what I hope to eat for dinner. I just tell him all the things because that's who I am. And surprisingly, I think he actually likes this about me, or at least he does a really good job faking it, one or the other. But sometimes, y'all, this backfires on me. And because I do so much of the talking, he doesn't. And sometimes I will find out that he's been holding on to important nuggets of information that I should know about that I don't know about. For example, once he was offered kind of a part-time side job that he wanted to take. Once he was asked to speak at a funeral. Once he was asked to be a groomsman in a wedding. And I didn't find out about these things till a couple days or more later. And when I would come to him and be like, what, you know, why didn't you tell me? When did this happen? And he would say, oh, a few days ago. And I'm like, why didn't you say something? And the most recent time something like this happened, his response was, well, I never really had the chance. And I thought back on that the past couple days prior. We had had some pressing things going on in our lives, in my life, and we had done a lot of talking. But mostly when he talked, he was just affirming what I was saying, letting me know that he was listening. But I had never really given him the chance to tell me what was on his heart. He wasn't mad about it. He was more matter of fact. But I realized that there's some areas of our communication that we need to work on. And I share that with you all tonight because sometimes I think it's the same way in our relationship with Jesus. We just get used to doing all the talking, telling him what we need, what we want, how he can help us. Sure, hopefully we may take the time to praise him or to thank him, but how often do we really give him the opportunity to just tell us what's on his heart? Is it always about us? Are we ever still enough, silent enough to hear from him? Do we even know how? Honestly, do we even know how to hear from God? I think this is something that many of us are unfamiliar with, and maybe we don't think it's all that important until we get to some crossroads in our life, right? And we really want to know maybe what decision to make or what direction to go. Then we really, really want to be able to discern God's voice. But unfortunately, a lot of times we've never really trained ourselves to recognize his voice. Don't wait. Don't wait until you're in the heat of the moment, the heat of a situation, to start learning how to hear his voice. I'm telling you, it'll be a lot harder with all that pressure pushing in on you. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I want you to ask yourself tonight, man, do you know his voice? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Are you able to follow it easily? Or is your relationship with Jesus more about your voice? Now, don't get me wrong, he loves to hear your voice. If you're here tonight, and if it's been a while since he's heard your voice, I'm telling you, he misses it. And he wants to hear from you. He delights in hearing all the things from you, and he's definitely not faking it. But a relationship is a two-way street, right? And we need to hear from him just as much, if not more, than he needs to hear from us. So this evening, I'm hoping that we can learn together tonight how we can better hear from God, how we can learn to listen to his voice. Most often, I think God communicates with us in the following ways. They're going to be on the screen in a minute. Now, this was not meant to be an exhaustive list of ways. There are more, but these are the ways that came to my mind because I think this is how God speaks to me most. Number one, through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. I kind of think of this as that still small voice that we come to recognize. Number two, he speaks to us through his word, through the scriptures. Now, this is the most common way that he speaks to us. Number three, he speaks to us through other believers, through other people. Sometimes other believers are God's voice to us, and sometimes we are God's voice to other believers. How cool is that? Also, our circumstances. God can manipulate our circumstances in order to communicate with us. And sometimes he uses a variety or all of these at the same time or in close connection with one another to get his point across, because sometimes we can be a little hard of hearing. Amen? But the thing I want you to leave here tonight most convinced of is simply this. Our God is a God who speaks. He is a God who speaks. He always has. He always will. He's a God who speaks. He has things he wants you to know. Let that sink in for a minute. He has things he wants you to know. And yes, he has answers to your questions. He knows the direction to take at the crossroads. He knows all those things. But I would almost guarantee you that there are things that he wants to tell you that you don't even realize you need to know. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to miss any of that. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going Old Testament this evening. It'll be on the screen as well. But this was a time in Scripture when God spoke a little bit differently than he does now, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit the way that we have it now. This was pre-Pentecost. They also didn't have this whole canon of Scripture compiled together, maybe bits of the Torah. But so God spoke a little bit differently than he does now. Also, in this specific period of time that we're going to read in a second, he wasn't speaking as often as he does at times, but he was still a God who spoke. And after studying this passage, I'm confident that there are some things we can learn about how to hear from God by looking at the way that he spoke in the past. Before we read it, a little background before we jump into the text. There's three main characters. The first one is Eli. Say Eli. Very good. Eli was the priest. He was the current judge and priest in Israel. But the problem was, Eli was not doing a very good job of managing his own household. Eli's sons, they didn't know God, and they were blaspheming God. And the problem was that Eli was turning a blind eye to this. He wasn't addressing the situation. Second character was Hannah. Say Hannah. Hannah. She was barren. She couldn't have a child. And she was devastated. So she goes to the temple where Eli's at, and she is weeping and wailing, carrying on in such a way that Eli thinks she's drunk. She explains she's not, and she makes this vow to God at the temple that if he will bless her with a child, that she will in turn give that child to service to God all the days of his life. God does. He honors her request, and she keeps up her end of the bargain, and she takes Samuel to Eli at the temple to serve the Lord, and that's where we're going to pick up in Scripture. All right. I'm going to read most of this chapter. Are y'all ready? It's a good story. It is interesting. Everybody's going to be able to stay tuned in. As I read it, what I want you to pay attention to are the circumstances through which God spoke. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to stop at verse 19. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli's eyesight had begun to grow dim. He's getting older, so that he could not see, and he was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Think the Holy of Holies. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Notice it didn't say sleeps. It says he lays until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, his boss, practically. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, listen to what he said. Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Five ways we can better train ourselves to hear from the Lord. Five ways we can better train ourselves to hear from the Lord. Number one, be about his business. Be about the Lord's business. What was Samuel doing? If we go back to verse 1, it tells us that Samuel was in the Lord's house serving the Lord. If you want to position yourself to hear the Lord's voice better, be about his business. He can speak to you anywhere, that's true. But if you are in the beginning stages of training yourself to hear the Lord's voice, there is just something about positioning yourself to do his work in his church, in his service, that tunes in your heart more clearly to hear his voice. So if you are seeking the Lord about something in your life right now, a decision, a crossroads, words of comfort, guidance, man, be about his business. Being here at midweek is a great way to be about his business, being plugged into a life group, volunteering in the kids' barn. These are great ways to be about the Lord's business. These things soften the soil of our hearts so that we're able to receive what God has to say to us. And he knows that. So he's much more likely to speak when we are ready to receive what he's going to say, right? Be about his business. Number two, if you want to hear from the Lord more clearly, have some margin in your life. Have times when you are still and silent before the Lord. What was Samuel doing when he first heard God's voice? What was he doing? Somebody tell me. He was laying down in the temple. But it says that the lamp had not gone out yet. He wasn't sleeping. He's just laying there in silence, in stillness, and he hears God speak. I don't even know if we really know what that's like. Because silence and stillness in 2025 is a very unfamiliar thing. And my fear is that sometimes God does speak, but we don't hear him over all the noise in our lives. Man, during your prayer time, I just want to challenge you. First of all, have it. But then during your prayer time, don't just get up, say amen, and go about your day. During your prayer time, yes, pour your heart out to the Lord, but then say, speak. Your servant is listening. Your servant hears. Tell him that more than you want to talk to him, you want to hear from him. Ask him to speak. Reduce the noise in your life. Man, resist the temptation, and I am guilty of this too. Resist the temptation to scroll on your phone at night until your eyes are so heavy you can't hold them open anymore. Put it down. Lay there. Your last thoughts before bed, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me that will prepare my heart for a good night's rest and prepare me for the next day? Give him the opportunity to speak. Keep some margin in your life. A few weeks ago, Women of Grace, our women's ministry here, we traveled to the Recovery Soldiers women's facility. Recovery Soldiers is kind of an addiction recovery center based on discipleship to Jesus. And we went there as women to serve the women of Recovery Soldiers, and we took them a meal, and we got to pray with them, and we got to worship with them. And y'all, it was incredible. It was one of my favorite WOG nights. And as we were getting ready to leave, a young woman named Jade came up to me and Alexis, and she was like, hey, before you guys go, can I show you my favorite room in the place? And we were like, sure, yeah, we would love to see it. And so she takes us out the doors, down this darker hallway, to these double doors that are labeled War Room. If you've watched the movie, you probably know what this room was. I'd seen the movie, so I knew, had an idea, and she opens the door to this war room, and it is a room that is designated for prayer. And she says, this is my favorite room in this house. And then she goes on to tell me that they are required to get up at 5:30 a.m. and be in that room on their knees at 6 a.m., and it was still her favorite place. But she tells me that they spend the first 20 to 30 minutes just crying out to the Lord, just telling him all the things, just pouring their heart out to him, asking for his help, for his deliverance, for his healing. But then, she said, the last 10 to 20 minutes, we just listen to God. And she said, I thought it was the dumbest thing at first. She was like, I didn't hear anything. I didn't understand why we were doing this. And then she said, eventually, though, my thoughts started racing in one direction, and I couldn't peel them away. And it wasn't a loud, audible voice like I thought it would be, but it was a voice nonetheless drawing her to what the Lord was trying to tell her. Maybe it was a verse from earlier in the week that God was speaking over her heart. Maybe it was something in her life she needed to confess. Maybe it was a relationship that needed to be restored. But she began to recognize and hear the voice of her shepherd, and that became her favorite room in the house, because there is nothing better There's nothing better than coming to know and recognize the voice of your shepherd. But in order to do it, she had to have enough margin in her life to hear it. Number three, if you want to hear the Lord more clearly, seek counsel from those who have followed him longer or more closely than you. Seek counsel from those who have followed him longer or more closely than you. I don't think Samuel did this intentionally. I think he just didn't know what was going on. And so when he heard God's voice, he went to Eli, but it was actually Eli who affirmed that Samuel was hearing the voice of the Lord. Look, as we go about this process of learning to hear God's voice, sometimes we aren't going to be sure if what we think we are hearing is right. We're not. That's okay. That's normal. Rest easy. That is normal. But before you just roll the dice to find out, man, take it to someone who might know his voice a little better than you. Take it to someone who's followed him a little longer, a little closely than you, and ask them, hey, does this sound like something God would be saying? Does this align with the truths of his word? Because God will never tell us something that doesn't align with the truths of his word. So search it out. See if it aligns here. See if it adds up. But after you search it out, if you still aren't sure, go to someone who has followed Jesus longer or more closely than you and have the boldness and the humility to ask them. Number four, this one's important. If you want to hear from the Lord more clearly, be willing to hear the good along with the bad. See, a lot of times we desperately want to hear from the Lord. As long as what the Lord says is what we've already decided that we want him to say, right? Then we really want to hear from him. But what we're not actually asking him to do is speak. What we're asking him to do is just affirm. Affirm what we already think. Affirm what we already want. Affirm what we already think we know. So sometimes I think the reason that we don't hear him, while we accuse him of being silent, is because we're actually just choosing to drown out what we don't want to hear. I know I've been there. Eli, we've established, was clearly not a perfect priest. He wasn't a perfect father, but I got to give him some credit here. Because Eli, he wanted to know what God had to say, even though he had a gut feeling that it was not going to be good news for him, right? He's like, Samuel, just tell me. Just tell me. Whatever it is, just tell me. And Samuel finds the courage and he finds the boldness to tell basically his boss some very devastating news that God is about to bring punishment down. What does Eli say? Anybody? What does he say? Verse 6. Yeah, he says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Y'all, this is the part that was hard for me. Are you at that kind of place of trust in your relationship with Jesus, where when the Lord doesn't say what you're hoping he says, where you can at peace just say, God, you are Lord. I am safe with you. Let it be. Let it be as you want, Lord. Are you at that place in your relationship with Jesus? And I know that's tough. Dallas has had to speak this over my life as a foster mom. This is not easy for me. I want the Lord to affirm what I think, what I want, and what I need. But God's the one who really knows what I need. So I think you need to ask yourself tonight, do you really want to hear his voice? Really? Because there might be some sin in your life that he wants to deal with. There might be some unforgiveness that you're holding on to that the world says you have every right to just keep holding on to that bitterness, and he might be asking you to give it up. Do you want to hear his voice then? What about when he's asking you to walk out some difficult steps of obedience that scare you, that make you want to stay put? What about then? Do you want to hear his voice then? I hope so. Because the thing is, even when we have the natural tendency to perceive what he is saying as hard or bad, it's actually always good. It's always for our good and for his glory. Always. We just have to get to this place of trust that we actually believe it and are able to rest in that. And that's not easy, but it's good. It's good. The last way we can train ourselves to better hear from God is number 5. Test the waters. Test the waters. Now, some of y'all are not going to like this one. Because throughout this process of learning to hear from the Lord, at some point, we just got to step out in faith and test the waters. But of course, in our flesh, we don't want to do that. We want the sure thing. We want the audible voice from God telling us what to do so we can make no mistake about it. But that's just not the way it usually works. Most of the time, training ourselves to hear the voice of God still requires faith. Faith. Yes. We do everything we can to make sure we've heard from the Lord correctly. We search out the scriptures. We seek counsel. We spend time alone and in prayer with him. But at some point, y'all, at some point, you've got to trust in the voice of your shepherd. Muster up the faith. Step out and see if it holds. And when it does, you're like, glory, hallelujah. I heard him. I knew that was him. I knew it was him. I told you it was him. I knew it was him. And then you hear it again. And this time you step out a little less shakily and it holds. And you're like, oh, that was it. I knew that was him. I knew that was him. But then sometimes you step out and it may not hold. Sometimes you may make a mistake. Sometimes God may not have said what you thought he was saying. You may mess up. Samuel, he didn't get it right immediately. God had to speak to Samuel 4 times before Samuel realized and recognized the voice of the Lord. Look, when I am teaching my kids something new, parents, when you're teaching your kids something new, do you expect them to get it right 10 out of 10 times? No. No, we have a good Father. We have a good Father, and as long as your motivations are right, as long as your heart is right, if you make a mistake, I'm telling you, it's not going to be the end of the world. He is a good Father. Now, what I'm not saying is sin intentionally, that grace may abound. Absolutely not. I'm just saying, don't be so afraid to mess up and hear him wrong that you are afraid to dip your toes into the waters of obedience. Have faith, have courage, have boldness. It takes some trial and error as we learn to recognize the voice of our shepherd. But over time, worship team, or you guys, you too can come. Over time, you don't necessarily have to have silence and complete solitude to hear his voice. Now, you'll still want that time with him. But over time, y'all, you can be in a crowded room and hear his voice. Over time, you can be in the middle of a conversation with someone and hear his voice. Over time, you're able to just zone in on it, kind of like a parent at a kid's birthday party when it's loud and crazy, but you hear your kid say mom or dad over a myriad of other noises because you know that voice, because you spent time with that voice, and you know the things and the circumstances that align with that voice. So you're able to zone in on that when nobody else can. That is what it's like as we come to know the voice of our shepherd. And it changes things. Your relationship with Jesus will become drastically more mature. It'll become deeper and sweeter. You'll begin to have more of a confidence in who you are in him. And your obedience to his voice will allow you to become a greater vessel for his glory. And that's what it's all about anyways, right? His glory. We don't just want to hear his voice because it makes us feel good and pats us on the back. We want to hear his voice so we can follow hard after him. So we can step out in faith and courage and boldness so that we can bring him all the glory we possibly can. That's why we want to hear it. So do you know it? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? I wanted to end tonight a little bit differently by giving you an opportunity to try this. If you don't hear anything tonight, that's perfectly fine. It takes time. But I've asked Justin to play for just 2 minutes. And as he plays, I want you to just sit there and close your eyes. And you can tell the Lord whatever you want to briefly. But then I want to challenge you to say, man, Lord, speak, for your servant hears. And listen for the next 2 minutes, and then he'll tell us when to stand and sing with him.